So, Anthony Gorman, good to be back on the airwaves of Highlands. Before we talk League of Ireland football, let's talk your new role, Director of Football at Letterkenny Rovers. And I suppose with no Ulster Senior League now, things very much strange around the Lakeview club at the minute, is it?
Yeah, I suppose it is a big change, Oisin, in the fact that you're not preparing for an Ulster Senior League season. But I think, to be fair, the people involved at the football club have been very realistic over the last number of years and realised that this was something that was going to probably more than likely happen down the line, where the Ulster Senior League as we know it or knew it would fall by the wayside. And we expected probably more help than what was coming from the FAI in terms of either trying to keep the league as was and try and attract new teams or come up with a new format for it. But to be fair, like as I said, like the people involved at the club, you know, were realistic enough to realise that, you know, if and when that the league did disband, that, you know, we'd be looking at the Donegal League. And, you know, so the preparation is very much geared towards the upcoming first division of the Donegal League.
Yeah, a division you were already in because you had a team, of course, playing in the Donegal League for the last number of years. Have you managed to keep many of your first team players, your Ulster Senior League players from last year?
Yeah, well, at the minute it seems to be that we're not too bad in that respect, where a lot of the players from last year have given a commitment to stay. There's still a few that obviously there's a wee bit of uncertainty about, because I suppose all the time, like, we would always encourage players to play at as high a level as possible, but, you know, unfortunately for us now, at this moment in time, we're sitting in the second tier of Donegal League football, and I'm sure that there's some of our players will be attracting interest from Premier Division teams. But we're hopeful that the players we have, you know, and a lot of the players we've spoken to so far have given the commitment to stay. And we started back training there on Tuesday night and with a good turnout, and our preparation is we're well advanced in terms of our preparation, and it's just a matter now of getting the boys back in the park and getting them prepared as best as possible for the upcoming season.
Yeah, I know you mentioned the FAI there, and I'm sure it's collectively felt by yourselves, Bunnagee United, and obviously Coghill Celtic as well, that it was a kick in the teeth from the FAI to you guys. You were very much left to your own devices in the Ulster Senior League.
Yeah, well, that would be, I know we've spoke about this quite a lot, Oisin, and my own personal opinion is that the FAI just left us to our own devices and see what we come up with. And unfortunately, there wasn't the appetite from other clubs. And I think the writing was on the wall. If you go back over within the last 10 years, like the likes of Kildrum Tigers and Buncrana Hearts, Swilly Rovers, Fanland United, teams like Drum King were also in the league for quite a while. So when them teams started dropping out of the league, then you were very much reliant on Finn Harps and Derry City, the two senior clubs in the area, to top up the league with the reserve teams. And that obviously puts an added strain on them, because they're competing at League of Ireland under 17, under 19 level, and it's just an added an extra team and an extra expense on hard, you know, cash strapped League of Ireland clubs as it is. So while they were committed to the league, it was and the Letterkenny and Bunnagee and Carthel were very grateful to them clubs for supporting the league. But ultimately, you know, it was never going to last with three club teams trying to keep the league going. And I think for too long what's happened up around here, Oisin, in respect of FAI and that, I think it's, you know, it's been a case of the tail wagging the dog too much, where, you know, the clubs, and you can't, like, I have no issues with clubs, deciding to pull out of the league or whatever, but at the end of the day, and again, like, I always look at the Munster Senior League scenario, where you've got seven divisions of the Munster Senior League. It's one league, and the top three divisions are intermediate, and it's very simple. Like, they could have done that up here in Donegal, where you've got your divisions, your Saturday league and your Sunday league, and very simple, your top leagues and intermediate division. And that I've always felt that that directive should have just come from the FAA. And you know, I think it's too easy, you know, for the FAA to look up here and think, well, because there is an awful lot of clubs up in Donegal, and from the outside looking in, and you know, football's would appear to be strong up here because of the amount of teams that we have, and there is a great, you know, Donegal is a great football county, but I just felt that, and I still feel that the FAA should involve themselves more in developing and promoting the game up in Donegal.
Yeah. Listen, there's three main clubs, and then obviously Finn Harps and Derry, who are losing out with the Ulster Senior League not happening from here on in. But is this going to be a scenario, Anthony, that's going to make the quality of junior football even better in the county? Is it going to help the Donegal Junior League? I know there's only five clubs involved, but there's going to be players that are free that are looking to stay at home and play football. So is it going to prove the league going forward for Donegal?
Well, if you looked at the Donegal League anyway, like the top teams on that, you know, the quality is quite good anyway. Like, you know, I know, like, say Kilmacrenan, who's a local team to us here in Letterkenny. I mean, they have some really good players and a good quality of and a good standard of player, and that's just to name one team. So like the fact that Bunnegee and Letterkenny Rovers will be entering it, you know, with their first teams, and you know, it'll obviously strengthen the league, and it'll with the introduction of them into the Donegal League with their senior teams, it'll put a, you know, an emphasis on the other teams to improve as well. Like, and that, you know, competition, good competition makes for improvement and quality at all levels of football. So it'll certainly strengthen the Donegal League, there's no doubt about that.
And there's also, I suppose, if you add in as well that Finn Harps aren't going to carry an under-21, or as they were calling them, an under-21 team, there could be other players outside that 19 age group now from the senior clubs that are also looking for football.
That's right. I mean, Finn Harps and Derry City now, all they have to do is, you know, provide their football from up to under-19 level, and then, you know, if they deem the players that are going out at under-19 to be good enough, they'll obviously keep them on it for their senior teams. And then, but if they're deemed surplus to requirements, then you would think that they'd filter back down into the local leagues again, which will obviously make it a more competitive and a more attractive league.
Yeah. Well, listen, two players that have played Ulster Senior League and are back in senior ranks of football in the Northwest in the League of Ireland, are the likes of BJ Banda and Tony McNamee, two players that you know well, Anthony, and they are two new signings at Finn Harps, two actual re-signings for Finn Harps because they were there before. And you can add in the rest of the players that have signed up over the last number of weeks, the likes of Stokes, Hutchinson, Watson, also Stephen Doherty and Patrick Ferry from a number of weeks ago. We could see a very much changed side for Finn Harps on Friday night against Bray Wanderers.
Yeah, it's... you know, it's the new signings, obviously, I suppose, the situation that Finn Harps are in the league, you know, they couldn't wait for the transfer window to open, and the players that they had signed, you know, up until last week, like Tony McNamee and Patrick Ferry and Stephen Doherty, like they've been signed for quite a while now, but they have, unfortunately for Finn Harps, they weren't able to play until after the 1st of July. So tonight will be the first night that they've, or Friday night will be the first night that they've actually got, or Dave Rogers has actually got the opportunity to pick these lads. And, you know, the players that we know, like Tony McNamee and Patrick Ferry and Banda, like you would expect, I would expect them to feature on Friday night. And then the other ones, the fact that they've come in, they've got fairly good reputations as well. So I'd say I wouldn't be surprised if Dave Rogers was to introduce all seven for the game against Bray Wanderers on Friday night. And I think it's something that, you know, the run that Finn Harps have been on, you know, it's it's a good opportunity to play these players, and you know, it'll bring a freshness to the pitch, and also create a bit of interest among the supporters. And
Can it bring instant success?
Well, with the players like the likes of, say, BJ and Tony McNamee coming in, you know, players that we know, like Tony McNamee could turn a game out of nothing, like, and you know, with his ability to create, and obviously his ability from his deliveries from set plays, his long throws, like, there's an added weapon straight away. And then BJ Bandish, like, we know all about BJ, and we've seen him over, like, I've worked with BJ since he was a kid. And BJ's one of them players where he may not be involved in the game very much, but the next thing, out of nothing, he could produce a bit of magic and the ball be in the back of the net, Oisin. And that's probably something that Finn Harris has been lacking, is their ability to score enough goals during the season. Like, if you look at the games that they've drawn six games this season, you know, and three more goals and you know, and three of them, one more goal each in three of them games would have generated another 6 points for them. You know, and it's, goals make all the difference in terms of, you know, trying to climb up the table. And I think in Tony McNamee and BJ Banda and Patrick Ferry, who, by the way, had a good spell at Ballinamallard, came through the ranks at Derry City as well. You know, there's goals in him as well. So I think Dave Rogers can be very happy with the bit of business he's done over the last number of weeks.
Yep. I suppose the timing of this is good as well. The fact that they're playing at home against Bray Wanderers, and they have a home tie. And it's sort of set up for what you hope would be a good night for Finn Harps on Friday, Anthony.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're 100% right there, Oisin, in the fact that it is a home game. You know, people have been talking about these signings now over the last couple of weeks, and, you know, there is a wee bit of excitement. And especially, I think the fact that they're, you know, three of the boys have mentioned our local lads, you know, that'll create a bit of interest, and, you know, it'll get a bit of local support sort of going to see, you know, how these lads can impact the game. But also the fact, you know, the like Dan Stokoe and Max Hutchinson and Jamie Watson, like, they'll be coming to see them as well, because they're, you know, players from that have experienced football over in England, and that's, you always want to see new players come in and do well, and I'm sure the Finn Harps public are no different in the fact that they'll be turning out tomorrow night to see the new players and hopefully get 3 points on the board for the Harps.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be a good night for Harps tomorrow night. Just looking elsewhere at the division, I suppose at this stage now we're into the second half of the campaign. Galway are the pace setters. Are they going to be caught, do you think, Anthony, or is it a case of them just seeing out the rest of the season?
I can't see it. I think, you know, I would have watched a few of the Galway games on LOI TV, and you know, they're very strong, Oisin. They're very, very well organised physically. They're well at it. You know, they're been led by two very experienced campaigners, and John Coffey and Ollie Horgan. And I think you can't really, what Galway have at the minute, you know, in terms of their management team, they have that League of Ireland experience and that know-how, and how to get out of the division. And that's very hard to buy. And, you know, I think Galway, like, they've led the league from the start. And, you know, they will certainly win the division. And I think you've got Waterford and you've got Cove vying for the second and third spots. But I don't see anyone catching Galway. And, like, tomorrow night's a game where Cove are at home to Galway. Third against first, but, you know, it's Galway have seen off all the main challengers. And, like, I watched there was a game recently where they played Bray, you know, and Bray's in fifth place, and they were up challenging near the top of the league at the time, and Galway blew them away. I think it ended up 6-0 rushing, but it was really a case of men against boys. So it's, you know, it's Galway for the title, and then you have another four or five then vying then for the playoff spots.
Yeah. We'll nip into the Premier Division, Anthony. Derry City against Sligo Rovers. There's a big Northwest derby here. Sligo have pulled off some good results since they returned after the break. Derry have dropped to third in the table. And I suppose all the talk this week around Rory Higgins being linked with the Barnsley job. Now, we understand that it looks like Higgins is going to stick with Derry and not make that move. But is it maybe a bit unsettling for the group that this is all out in the media and out in the open air as Derry prepare for a big North West derby?
Certainly, when you have a manager of one of the top teams in the League of Ireland, and he's linked with the job, and he's shown a bit of interest, you know, it can be a wee bit unsettling for players, and you know, it can lead to certain players questioning the manager's commitment. When you know, as a manager or a coach, you demand commitment and from your players, and you know, there's possibly you might get that question asked around the change room, you know, questioning his commitment. But at the end of the day, the opportunity to speak to Barnsley would be too good an opportunity to turn down. I mean, Barnsley are they're a very, very big football club around Yorkshire and England, and they've got a very proud history, especially probably at championship level. So Rory Higgins, you couldn't blame him for wanting the opportunity to talk to Barnsley, but Rory's also got a massive job in his hands at Derry City as well, Oisin. You know, and they have dropped to third place in the league. And, you know, we talked earlier on the season about teams challenging Shamrock Rovers, and we did think at the time that Derry City were probably in the best position to challenge Shamrock Rovers given the financial backing that they've had. But at the way things look at the minute, it's very much not, the gap isn't as big, but I personally can't see anybody similar to Galway in the first division. I can't see anyone really challenging Shamrock Rovers for the Premier Division team. I think that the team that's putting more of a push on behind Rovers is St Pat's, who are on a really good run of form since John Daly took over. So it makes for interesting viewing over the next few weeks, the League of Ireland Premier Division.
Yeah. And I suppose the fact as well, over the last couple of months, Derry have had their injury problems, and if they were going to be sort of title contenders and pushing Shamrock Rovers all the way, they would have needed their key men all fit, and that wasn't the case, Anthony.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, I know Mark Connolly was a big loss for them when he was out, and then when he came back, watched the game, he came back in against St Pat's, and he didn't look at himself, and he was maybe to blame for one of the goals that night. But I think when you're challenging for, or when you've got ambitions of challenging for a league, you need everything to go in your favour. Like you need all your players to be fit, and you need your players to be performing well. And if you're losing two or three of your top players, like it doesn't matter at whatever level you're at. If you lose one of your top players, it has a big detrimental effect on your squad and your performance. But Derry City, they do have a big squad, but at the same time, when you're missing players, say the likes of Michael Duffy and Mark Connolly, like that, they're two of the best players in the league, and any team would miss them, so they're hard players to replace.
Yeah. I did mention that Sligo pulled off a couple of big results in recent weeks. There was really only one, Anthony, and that was against Bohemians, where they won last week 3-1, and of the seven games before that, they actually only won two. One was against Shells, and the other was back at the end of May against Derry City. So their form in recent months hasn't been great, but it wouldn't be a surprise if they were able to pull off a result tomorrow night away from home.
It wouldn't. Sligo have that ability to pull off quite impressive results from time to time. It's probably the lack of consistency in their performances is why they're down in seventh place in the league. But they'll be going to Brandywell fairly confident and with a certain amount of optimism, because Derry City's home form isn't that good now. In 12 home games, they've only won 5. And I know that we've heard Rory Higgins in the past criticise the pitch at the Brandywell, and we've also heard a lot of the opposition managers criticising the standard of the playing field at the Brandywell. So it's a game where, you know, Sligo can go there with not so much pressure on them, but they will certainly be going with a degree of confidence. given the fact that they've performed well there this season already.
All right then, Anthony. That's it for today. As always, thanks for joining us, and we wish you the best of luck over the next number of weeks with your continued preparation for the new season ahead with Letterkenny Rovers.
Thanks so much, Josh, and thank you.